Good morning. Isn't it wonderful that we can be together today again? I'm going to put on the screen one more time the web page. Oh, give me one second. I have to do the resolution here. Okay. Okay, I think now you can see it. Not yet. It's going to take a few seconds, but sure you cannot see it. Okay, the cable was not connected. How could you see it? Okay, I want to remind you again. Elder Ken, thank you so much for your kindness and for the gift and everything. And anyway, I want to remind you again that up there is my email. Okay, so when I was moved in Lexington, Kentucky, Tennessee conference, I didn't hurry to start doing any type of program. My wife and I started to pray for God's plan, because many times we make a plan, a good plan, and then we ask God to bless it, instead of asking for His plan that is already blessed, because it is His plan. And we struggle and we don't succeed. We don't have much success, and then we get discouraged and we don't do anything anymore. We don't believe in anything anymore. So we prayed for about 3 months. And I asked my board members to pray. And some of them did, some of them prayed less. But anyway, I got a camp meeting. It was end of May in Kentucky, in close to Nashville. It is in Highland, where is the academy. And during camp meeting, I prayed every morning and every night. I would wake up 2 hours earlier in the morning and pray for God's leading. And it's not that God doesn't want to answer our prayers. He does want. It's that we are not ready to receive it. We are not sensitive to see that God is talking. It just goes like this. And we need to be ready when we come in God's presence and to be open. As much as we think that we are open, we have our mindset and we don't want to change. I mean, don't even change my furniture, moreover, how I do church. You follow me? And so, after 3 months and a half of prayer, at camp meeting, one morning, God woke me up around 2:30 a.m. with a bunch of strange ideas in my mind. And remember what I say now. When God works, He works in a way that is not usual. For instance, His plans, when they start working, they all go in the wrong direction. And when everything goes wrong, then you know that it's God. When things go right, that's not God, that's you. You follow me? Let me explain. You watch it throughout the Bible. It's always true. For instance, God told Joseph that he's going to be over his house, his parents, his brothers. Didn't he? In two dreams. And what happened? He was sold as a slave. He was put in prison innocent. I mean, you promised me that you'll put me over, and this is what happens? It always goes in the wrong direction. Because God cannot use you and me before He would break you and me. As long as you are somebody, regardless how little opinion you may have, God cannot use you. And that's a painful process. Think about Moses. He was supposed to deliver Israel. He had to run and spend not in advance. I said, yeah, I remember. In my mind, you were a stinker. You could have come and helped me, but anyway. And he says, two conferences just canceled the meetings, so I have two Sabbaths. Would you take them? What a question. Yeah, sure. Let me think about it. Come, you know. And then I said, what do you have in mind? And he says, I prayed a lot. And it may sound strange to you, but this is what I have in mind. He told me word by word what God put in my mind that morning. And I was speechless, and I told him, listen, at 2:30, God woke me up with these thoughts. To the very picky detail, you said. And I said, Lord, you better confirm it. And you just call me. But it took 3.5 months that we don't have the patience to pray. Excuse me. So, I did not tell my board members. I told them, I said, God inspired me. I've been praying. God showed me exactly what to do it. And I am not going to tell you. And they said, come on, Pastor. I said, no, you'll not do it anyway. So if you are curious, if you really want to serve God and to work with me, you better go home and pray. And God must show you what he showed me. And they said, oh, it's not going to happen. I said, no, sure, if you don't have faith, it's not going to happen. And I said, listen, I love to follow up. You'd hate me after I follow up. So I said, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to ask you if you prayed. 2 weeks later, I called my board after the Sabbath. I said, how many of you prayed for this subject? Hands up, be honest. Confession time. 2 or 3. I said, okay, I give you 2 more weeks until next board meeting. If you didn't pray for it, look for a pastor. Ah, you kidding? No, do I look like kidding? And I said, are we here to serve the Lord? Or why? So basically, they prayed. 2 weeks later, they came. They did not present the same idea, the same very words, but they said, Pastor, we feel that we need to do something. When I talked to them about evangelism before, they said it doesn't work here. We have done it before. We have spent tens of thousands. Nobody comes. Nobody gets baptized. Nobody stays. And they said, we feel we need to do something, but not the traditional type evangelism. We believe that we should preach the gospel. We believe that we should do evangelism. But something different, totally different, that would work. And we are open. Tell us. I said, okay. So I told them. They unanimously voted. And we started. And what we did. Now it comes. Okay. We sent invitations for in-home Bible studies, not in the church, through the mail. We said, we offer you Bible studies, in-home Bible studies, for free. Very simple. Very simple. Very simple. And after we sent invitations, we discovered that those people that we invited before to come to church or evangelism or receive Bible studies, the response was almost zero. This time, we sent invitations to a zip code, that's 10,000 households, 10,500 exactly, and we got around 350 people responding that they want in-home, specifically if the Bible study should be in-home. They did not want to go to any church. They are tired of church. They want it at home. Well, we didn't specify that we will give them Bible studies. They presumed that we will just mail them. And I enjoyed them thinking that way. So, because they would have said no if I would say, I come to give you the Bible study. But my goal was not so much to teach them doctrines, but to build some relationship there. And then we can work, you know? So, after they responded, over 300 people, around 340, 350, we presented, before that, we presented the vision to the church. And after they responded, we did some training. EdgeMeet came and trained the church how to do Bible studies. Very simple. The basic rule was that you don't talk. Can you do that? I know it's hard for us, but the basic rule was that you don't talk. And it's very precise. First Bible study, you are the mailman. Mailman is not going to convince you to open your mail. He just delivers the mail. You follow me? So first visit, knock, knock. Why don't you mail it? Because there is so much trash mail that when you see the junk mail, you just throw it in the trash. We want to make sure that you get it. So I would rather sacrifice from my time and my gas and drive it to you. And I said, if they ask you, you say that. If they don't ask you, good morning, good morning, bye. Who are you? Bye, I'm the mailman. I'm just delivering the Bible study. And EdgeMeet informed them, even if they want to talk to you, do not talk. He said, I'm going to ask you when you come back. Do not talk. Well, people didn't ask because people are afraid of strangers knocking in the door. People would open the door like this. Who are you? Who do you want? And they would show their handwriting. You wanted the Bible study. God bless you, bye. A few of them, 2, 3, why don't you mail it? Well, we want to make sure that you get it and you don't trash it as junk mail. Bye. Oh, I don't have time. I have to deliver another 50. There are many people who ask, bye. Oh, no, bye. I told them, be rude. Don't talk. Second time, you go there, you knock. Hey, greetings. People are creatures of habit. If you go there Tuesday night and they are not home, and you go next day, Wednesday night, and they are home, go every Wednesday night, same time, and you'll always find them home. If they have kind of the same schedule, same hour, knocking the door, hey, greetings, now you talk, but you don't say more than 10 words. Greetings, I am Jim. I got to give you number 2, Bible study number 2. Bye. Hey, I'm busy. Bye. So you present yourself, your name, and talk 10 words. Third Bible study, hey, I am Jim, how are you doing? Okay, your family, do you enjoy the Bible studies? And then you don't ask them if they want more or not, because they may say no. Basically what you do, man, there is a bug. Ooh, a spider. So you ask them not if they want more, you ask them if they have questions. Do you have any questions? And if they do, the instruction was you don't answer the question. You say, well, that's a good question. It's going to come later in the study. Or, if it doesn't, I'm going to pray about it, study, get an answer, and next time I'll give it to you. You don't answer the question. You follow me? So now, that was the third or the fourth time already. Next time you go, can I have a prayer for you? We have a prayer group. We believe in prayer. We get answers. People don't refuse prayer. When it's about prayer, they are very, I don't know how to call it in English, mystic? Huh? Very receptive. They don't refuse prayer. Can I have a prayer with you? By that time, they met 4 or 5 times. You are not a stranger. They don't keep the door like they open the door. Hey, let's not pray in the doorway. Come inside. 90% invited them inside. Ooh, you know. So, if they didn't, next time when you ask to pray, you say, can we pray inside? And they will not refuse you. They will not refuse you. By now, they are very thankful that you go. By that time, they have been going to several studies. You go inside, and after one more time, hey, can I study with you? I have a little time. And what you do? You don't talk. You don't answer. You don't model. You don't chair. You just stand there with them and listen. Let them watch it, because you give them both DVD and written Bible study. It's called Thunder in the Holy Land. All the Bible studies that you know have, the survey says in Andrews that they have a percentage of 10% response. If you give 100 Bible studies, you get an average of 10 people that would be baptized. Thunder in the Holy Land, if you give 100 Bible studies, you get an average of 76 being baptized. Isn't that something? So, we give them the DVD, we watch together with them, we have prayer in the beginning, pray for them, remember what they ask you to pray for. What should I pray for you? Pray for my wife or whatever. We have a prayer at the end, God bless you, and you leave. When you have about 6 these type of meetings, and you have been praying for their family, they open and they tell you more than you want to know, and you are friends and buddies. When you finish Bible studies, people would beg us to keep coming, not to stop. Story after story after story. I could give you stories. For instance, Delisa. She didn't come to church probably 2-3 years. She heard that a new pastor came. People are curious. She came for a Sabbath. And she kept coming. And then she comes and she says, you know, God moved me that I should give a Bible study, but I'm not okay myself. How could I teach others? And I wonder if I would be able. I said, no, you will not be able. But the good news is that you are not supposed to do anything. You just go there. Do you think that you are able to go there? So I'm not asking you to give a Bible study. I'm asking you to go there. That's easier. Easier, no? I said, yeah, I can do that. Okay, let's pray together. I prayed for her. She took one Bible study. She left. She goes to an apartment building. The door is locked. It has an intercom that you push and you tuck. And she pushes and nobody answers. And she pushes again and nobody answers. And again, after 5 minutes, she gets discouraged. Oh, God doesn't like me. God knows my life. He doesn't want to use me. She goes in the car and she calls me. I don't leave. Stay there and pray. Don't leave. God called you, you stay there. Let him work. How long? Until he tells you to leave.
Well, if he doesn't, if man, you don't have faith. I'm going to pray for you that you have faith. Bye. She gets in the car and she prays for 10 minutes. And the apartment door building opens. A man comes out to bring the trash to the trash container. And she runs and she says, can you let me in so I will put the Bible study under apartment number so and so? And he says, no, I'm not supposed to let you in. If that man is home or woman or what, woman, she should open the door for you. But I am upset with you. And she says, what's wrong with you? You don't even know me. I asked for a Bible study and I never got an answer. Why don't you answer? You don't like me or what? And she says, hey, I don't have one with me, but I promise I'll come tomorrow and get you one. No, I want one now. Okay, take this one. She calls me, Pastor, I gave a Bible study and I didn't give that one. Can you give me a second one? Come back. Give her the second one. She goes back. Now she rings to this man's apartment. He opens the door. She goes to the other apartment, sticks the Bible study under the door. She leaves. She calls me, hey, the second one was not very good because I pushed it under the door. I say, hey, don't worry. Just keep going. I could give you a bunch of stories. Peter, he's an ophthalmologist, an eye doctor. I got to be very sensitive with time today. I only have just about 10, 15 minutes left over. I'm going to tell you a little about my experience, how I got how we got to move from Romania to America. I don't know if you read the book. Did you? How many? Hands up. Man, quite a lot. Okay. You know the story, some of you. So, I used to own a business. My wife and I used to own a business that was pretty strong. In a time in Romania when the average salary was $64 a month in American money, Romanian money was $1,600 a month. But if you transform them, that was $64. In that time, I used to make, after paying taxes, after paying all the expenses, after paying salaries to my workers, I used to make $500,000 a year, $500,000. For here, it's a lot. Moreover, for Romania, that's a lot of money. And they called me to ministry, and basically, my wife and I talked, and we gave up $500,000, and we went to $64 a month salary. And we're never sorry, because God has been gracious to us, and I tell you, we are blessed. So, we decided to go into ministry, but guess what? I had law school, I had construction university, but not theology. So often people would ask me questions, and I would have to either acknowledge, hey, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer, or to kind of give them baloney stories, go around the bushes like politicians and never give them an answer, you know? And so basically, they sent me to the seminary in Romania, but the seminary was not accredited, and in that time the teachers didn't know a lot more than I did, you know? I mean, I learned Greek and Hebrew in Romania. I remember they asked me to learn the alphabet, and I passed the class. Is that Greek? Anyway. And so we started to pray for a school. And we sent applications everywhere. And we got zero answers back. And I remember I put my car for sale. It was a Nissan Datsun. I put it for sale. Good car. Nobody called. I went to the auction. People would come to buy the car. And I would try to start the car. And the car would not start. They would leave and it would start right away. And somebody would come and the car would not start. And they would leave and the car would start. And I got angry and my wife, hey, maybe God doesn't want us to sell the car. Well, we didn't sell the car. We forgot about it. God answers, but he doesn't answer the way you want in the time you want. God has a different plan, way bigger than you do. So 6 months later, down the road, it happens that when you pray for something, sometime after you give it up and forget about it and move on, God answers. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. 6 months down the road, we forgot about school. In fact, we sent to schools in Europe. Marie Ancier, Newbold, Collonge, Bogenhofen, but not in College Dale, Tennessee, Southern. So 6 months down the road, somebody knocks on my door and he says, I came to buy your car. And I said, not for sale. I said, oh, I drove from Timișoara. That was 120 kilometers away. And it's a big city. It's like 1.5 million
for more people, you know, and a lot of people. He says, I drove so long, my wife likes the color. I thought she would look for the brand or something, mileage. My wife likes the color, she wants this car. I said, not for sale. I said, how do you know about it anyway? Oh, we started the fire in the fireplace using some old newspaper and she saw it. So, he left because obviously I said no. I did not ask his name, his telephone, his email, his address, nothing. That night I get a phone call. Hey, Paul, how are you doing? I said, I'm good, who are you? I'm Lauren from America. I don't know any Lauren. I don't care about America, leave me alone. Sometimes you get, as a pastor, you get these crazy phone calls in the middle of the night, like 11 o'clock, and somebody wants to talk about nothing, you know? And they talk a lot and say nothing, and just, it was late, it was 10:30. I said, come on, it's 10:30. I don't know you. Oh, yes, you do. We were together in the choir in Bucharest when you were a student. Oh, now I remember. Lauren, how are you doing? We didn't see each other for about 12, 13 years. And by now he was in America. And he says, this week I could not sleep. Every time I would pray when I go to sleep, God would put you in my mind clearly that I have to call you to come here to the seminary. And I said, how do you know that I want to go to the seminary? I said, I don't know. Do you? I said, yeah, I want to go. But I will not come to America because there people shoot each other on the streets, they take drugs. That's what they taught us in a communist country. That's what we learned, you know. I'm not going to come. America is evil, you know. And he says, hey, that's in Western movies. Forget it. It's very safe, you know. Now you may go downtown Los Angeles, you may see that. But everywhere else it's safe. It's okay. And he said, listen, you pray. You don't say yes or no. And if God says yes, you go. If God says no, you don't. I said, yeah, you are right. Okay. So I told my wife. I said, nah, we don't know English. We don't know anybody there. We gave up our business and our big house, 8-bedroom house and big property, and we moved in this small apartment. Now give up the apartment and go in a country that we don't know anybody and start life all over again. Nah. And they said, okay. Well, my wife and I talked about it, you know. Why this man came 6 months later to buy the car? Can it be God that wants to have us money for expenses for trip? So we prayed. I talked and they said, okay, let's go to the embassy. That morning, we did our devotional. And when we opened the devotional book, it was Jeremiah 29:11. And I didn't feel good about it because it was like, okay, he started to work. And car was sold. I called one of my elders, borrowed the car. We got in the car and we drove to Bucharest, a long trip. And we got there at 3 a.m. next morning. In front of the American embassy, there were already 956 people in line. I was number 967. And until 7, 8, 9 a.m., the line behind me went so long that it went behind the corner, the block, around the other block, and around the other block. That day, 5 people got visa. My family, 4 and another one. When I got to the inside, to the consul, or however you call him, that window, I was watching. There were 4 windows open. And people would go, please let me go to visit my children. No, next one. No, next one. No, no, no. People would beg, please, please. Next one. And just to enter through the gate of the embassy, you would pay $120. Basically, 2 months' salary. And they would say no, and you would not recover the money. The money is not to get visa. It's to enter the gate. So basically, I go to the window, and my wife told me, gave me very precise instruction. Do not get a visa. Okay. So I go there and our time is up. I have a feeling that I got to finish. 5 more minutes. So I go there and he says, what do you want? I said, what a question. If I am in the American embassy, do you think I want to eat here or what? I came for visa. He says, why would you go? I go to school. Don't you have schools here? Yeah. Why don't you go here? They are not accredited. Yeah, I don't know if you come back. I cannot give you visa. Thank you. Bye. I says, hey, hey, don't you beg? Don't you want to go? I said, no, actually, I really don't. And he says, what? Why did you pay for me 120, for my wife 120, $240. Why did you pay that fee if you don't want to go? Are you crazy? I said, it may seem so. But I said, it's a long story, but basically, I'm very glad you didn't give me visa. My wife would be really happy. Bye. He said, doesn't make much sense. Come back. Tell me, why do you go? I said, listen, are you deaf? I told you I go to school. And he says, how do I know that you come back? I said, you don't. Would you come back? I said, I don't know. Promise me. I cannot. Then I cannot give you visa. I said, did I ask you for visa? Did I? Actually, don't want a visa. Then why did you come? Well, he's like Jonah. I don't want to fight God. And we feel that God may want us to go there. And we got to do our part not to run away from God's will. And if he wants us to get visa, he will do it. But I really hope that you will not get us visa because we don't want to go. We don't want to start life again and go to school and spend money and time. And I would rather stay home. I am okay here. So basically, it's just that I got to do my duty in front of my conscience. That's it. He says, does it make any sense for me? You are nuts. Okay. And he says, I want you to promise me that you come back. I said, I cannot. What if God says, stay there or go to Africa or go to Yugoslavia? I got to obey God. I cannot promise you anything. He says, listen, I don't know why. I'm going to give you visa, but just you alone without your family. I said, no, not going to live without my family. Bye. I left. Walked. He said, oh, come back. I said, leave me alone. And he says, I don't know why. I'm going to give you visa for the family. Oh, come on. And he says, yeah. Keep here, visa. Bang, 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 bang. All four passports for my wife and our children. I come out, honey, I did my best, but still they gave us visa, you know. So, we used the money we got for the car, paid for the entrance, paid for the visas, because the visa alone was $400. So, you do the math, over 600, 640. So far, the plane ticket, another 2,500 altogether. I mean, we spent the money, we had $140 left over in our pocket when we left. Our friends, relatives, church members, neighbors came, and they took everything, not just the refrigerator and the TV and the furniture, carpet, everything. When we left, our apartment was just empty, just the walls. They said, you go to America, you know, it rains with bread and honey and milk, and you know, there are no dogs with bread in their tail, you know. Anyway, in America. So we got to the plane, we left. My friend Lauren came to the airport, he picked us up. We visited for a week, and then he drove us to school. He paid tuition for a month, insurance for a month, housing for a month, and he gave me like $100 pocket money, and he said, I'll come back next month to visit you and to take care of your bill. He owned a construction business. He left, got in the car, went to one of his businesses, and as he got off the car, he had a cardiac arrest. His heart stopped. He was dead for 7 minutes. They brought him back with electric shocks, but he lost his memory because his brain was without oxygen. So he didn't remember his wife, his name, his father. He lost his home. He lost his business. He lost his truck. He lost his boat. He was bankrupt. He didn't remember me. So here we are in a foreign country, zero English except how are you, bye, you know. Hi and bye, that was, you know. And in Southern, they speak in their neck like, oh, like Japanese, you understand nothing, you know. But anyway, so here we are in a foreign country, no money. I was so angry with God, I refused even to pray. I don't know if you have been there, but I would not even kneel down and pray. I would be awake in my bed, looking up and crying and arguing. Did I ever ask you to come to America? You led me here to leave me alone and to forsake me, and I have two children with me. But God had to break us in order to use us. Because I thought I am educated, I thought I had money, I had connections, I am smart, I have good memory, tremendous memory, and I thought, and he said, young man, you got to learn to be humble. You obviously are not fine. You are breaking in, crying in tears. And I started to cry again. I said, yes, I am not fine. By now, it was like 2 months since we came. I learned like 10 words every day. I got to know a few words that I could use the same words again and again and kind of carry a conversation using more my hands than my mouth, to the point that after 2 hours of talking, I would have pain in my hands. So he asked me, what's wrong? My sponsor had a cardiac arrest, and I have nothing. What do you want? I said, nothing. He said, well, if God brought you here, he'll provide. Yeah, easy for you. Tell you. I said in my mind. He left. That Sabbath, my wife and I went to church. Dr. Ed Wright, who was the pastor of Collegedale Church, right now he's the president of Georgia Cumberland Conference, he started his sermon using what Bible verse? Jeremiah 29:11. Now we knew a little more English, so we got most of the sermon. When they read the scripture reading, Jeremiah 29:11, my wife and I took hand in hand. And we had a feeling that God is talking to us. And then he spoke about Moses, when God sent him to Pharaoh. And Moses said, I don't know this language. And God said, who made the tongue? And Moses said, I don't have anything except this stick. And God said, you don't need anything. If I send you, I'll provide for you. You forget, you talk to me. And I looked to my wife, she looked to me, and we cried. So we decided, we are not going to doubt God. We are not going to focus on ourselves and feel miserable. We are not going to even care if we eat or not. We are going to go to school and do whatever God says and let Him take care of everything else. We are not going to focus on our misery anymore. So I shook the hand of the pastor as I got out, and I said, I'm going to just keep learning and leave it with God. Thursday night, the pastor knocked on my door. He has 4,000 or 5,000 members. You would not think that he would care for a new Romanian student. He said, hey, Dr. Blanco came and talked to me about you. And we made a decision. He's going to pay your tuition for 1 year alone on 2 conditions. You get straight A's. You get a B, we stop paying. And you finish your bachelor in 1 year. And I talk to my board, and we'll pay your housing and insurance on the same conditions. Straight A's, 1 year. You finish. You graduate in 1 year. And you take care of your bills, your books, your electricity, food, power, telephone, everything else. Are you okay with that? Praise the Lord. I mean, you ask me if I'm okay? This is a miracle, you know? So I took, sure, they recognized some of the credits from other schools, from the general classes. I took 21 credits first semester, plus English. 19 credits second semester, plus English. And plus computer lab and classes, because I never owned a computer before. And 17 credits summer, and graduated in 1 year with magna cum laude, straight A's. I would take the books, kneel by my bed, and read the word, and go to the dictionary. Read second word, go to the dictionary, read, and pray over every page that God would give me wisdom. In 30 days after that, by God's grace, I passed the TOEFL test. In 3 months after that, I was already preaching in English. And that was a miracle. When the grades came, I said, Lord, this is the wrong address. These grades, straight A's, this should have been sent to you, not to me. You know, they don't belong to me. They came to me and they said, we are pleased what you did. We are going to do the same thing. 1 year in Andrews, we are going to pay for you everything. We want you to do the same. Basically, I finished school debt-free. Being in Andrews, I got a letter from the government that we have been selected for a green card. We didn't go to any lawyers, we didn't pay any fees except the medical exam, and the green card, $300, we got a green card. I finished school within 4 days after graduating, without sending any letter to anybody. I got called by Wisconsin Conference. So the story goes on and on and on and on. But when God calls you, obviously in the beginning things don't go right. And when things go wrong, you know God is working. Now, I didn't tell you much about the prayer seminar today. My time is up. I got to run to catch the plane. Pray for me that I will catch the plane. Let's pray together. It has been a blessing for me to be with you. I really hope that you don't just listen. I hope that you'll start praying, that you'll make a covenant with the Lord every morning. Sacrifice from your sleep. God is worthy. Sacrifice from your sleep and spend time with the Lord, because it's going to change your life, your family, your church. And God is going to use you, because it's all not about who we are. It's all about Him. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your wonderful, infinite love. Thank you for calling us. Father, please, bless this congregation. Bless this conference. Bless these people. May we all
serve you without any reservations, withholding nothing. May we serve you with joy and love, and may we be a light for others and bring honor to your name and soon spend eternity with you, because we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. We want to send them off with a song. God.